Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
A lot of football conversation coming up. We are guest-free. Plenty of room for you at 312-332-3776. You can watch us as well on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Don't forget, if you've never downloaded the local ESPN Chicago app, do that as well. Wherever you go these days, you know, whether you're working from home, you could listen that way right on your phone, or wherever you may be. That's a great way to listen to us. You could also tell your Alexa or Google Play to play ESPN 1000. So always being aware of that there. You could be so nimble now with the radio shows on ESPN 1000 with all the different ways to listen. I want to get to these Bears calls here in a minute. But I've brought this up to you, Waddle, for a lot of years already. Mm-hmm. I want to redo playoffs in a lot of the different leagues. You know me with the NBA. I always say that I think we should do 1 through 16. Take the 16 best teams, don't take 8 and 8. I think the NFL, it's even more egregious, especially when you're adding here the 7th team. So now you have 7 teams that are going to make the playoffs. You are adding an extra playoff team to make the playoffs. You only have these divisions with 4 teams. 4 team divisions. To consistently get this one bad division year in and year out, and it's been excessive with the NFC East here the last couple of years, it's so dumb to just award a team for being the best of 4. Like, the divisions, you're only playing 6 games of 16 to begin with. So as far as fairness is concerned, I don't know how it's fair to begin with, because you're still playing 10 teams against the rest of the league. So I think it's most unfair when you're in a really good division, like at times like the NFC North is, or like the NFC West certainly is this year. The NFC South has always been a good division, that you have this team that gets a playoff spot at possibly 6-10. If one of these teams goes 6-10 at the end of the year, they get the spot just because them the rules. And I think that's crap. Why? I mean, it's old.
Because I like old school division football. I don't want to change. I'm going to be stubborn about this. I like the divisions. I like being the division champion. And I've gone all the way back to 2014 is the last time a team was under 500. It actually won the division. You remember who it was?
Yes, it was under 500 and won the division.
Correct.
Was it Seattle?
It was after that.
Okay, so they were maybe 500.
Well, no, but when Seattle did that, they may have been 7-9, but that was
this that was happened, in 2010, right?
Okay, so this happened was in more 14. Frequently. 2014.
The Texans,
Carolina Panthers were 7-8-1.
7-8-1.
And now I heard Greeny talking today about how no team that is below 500 should ever host a playoff game.
Right.
I'd be able to get involved in that.
I've been talking about that for a lot of years, too. Like, well, they've changed it to the point, but still the division winner gets to host a playoff game. Why? Why other than
because
it's always the way it's been, are we awarding division winners an automatic playoff?
Because I said so.
Like, in the NBA, too, even though it's still the top 8, I don't think you, like, are guaranteed to get anything if you win the division, are you? Like, they play division basketball, but it's about the top 8 teams. I mean,
but you never said, I mean, like, division, winning your division in basketball was never really a thing, right? Ever?
Well, I mean, but why should it ever matter what it used to be? Like, ever, 4 teams, okay? So you win your division at 6-10. Why are you deserving of a spot? Like,
because you won your division.
But you have 3 other teams, especially this year, and last year was the same thing. How you can't even be better than 6-10 or whatever you're going to be is even more unbelievable, because the Giants suck. The Washington football team sucks. The Eagles suck. and the Cowboys suck.
You may have a 9-7 team come out of there.
Not the way it's looking right now.
Well, I know, but there's a lot of football left. You may have it. You may not. This is an anomaly, though. I had to go all the way back to 2014 to find you a team that was below 500 to get to the postseason.
I think it's old, and I think it's, again, being the best of four, what are you accomplishing? What are you showing? You're not playing
the
majority games against the division anyway. Like, the teams that are in good divisions are getting penalized more.
Aren't there some traditions that are hard to explain, but they just feel right?
But they have more of a redeeming value. What's the redeeming value of this?
You're the king of the NFC North, or you're the king of the NFC East. You get to wear one of those hats that says NFC East champs.
Yeah, I mean, winning the division, if you're a team that can't win the Super Bowl, people do celebrate winning your division. When the Bears win the division, we're happy.
Oh, hell yeah. It's I don't care what their record
it's
is.
It's something we celebrate. We won the NFC North.
So if it's an anomaly, why not then, in the years that it would be the anomaly, get them out of there with the rule?
Why change it? Well, why feel necessary to change it if it doesn't happen frequently?
You're not truly awarding the seven best playoff teams. You're not truly getting the seven best teams in your playoffs. If you're giving a playoff spot this year to a team in the NFC East, and I can even argue last year too, then you're not truly giving the best seven teams a playoff spot.
Well, who
and
got
that's my goal.
Who got left out last year? So what? Last, you know, I'm looking at the 2000. I don't know why. I'm looking at the 2015 NFC. I got the Washington Redskins, winner of the division, at 9-7. I had the Minnesota Vikings winning the NFC North at 11-5. I got the Carolina Panthers winning the division at 15-1. I got the Cardinals winning the West at 13-3. The two wild card teams were the 10-6 Packers and the 10-6 Seattle Seahawks. Like, nobody got jobbed.
No, right. So that way you don't have to worry. But, I mean, again, isn't the goal of the postseason to put the best teams in the postseason?
Well, you get to the but when the season starts, you know what your goal is. Your goal as a team is to win your division. Not to be a wild card team. Win your division and you know you're in. Win and you get in.
Win the most games possible and
yes.
you're in.
Yes. It's like the NCAA tournament, right? You could be a crappy league, but if you win your league, you get an invite.
That's even weirder because you could win the entire league but lose the postseason tournament and you're not in because you awarded it with Like, again, my goal here is now you've increased the field. So seven teams get in. So, again, you should not have to win the division to get
or
in.
I can argue to you
best.
That you add the seventh team in, somebody ain't getting jobbed by a bad division in the East. You're getting another team in. So that spot that would be going in a 6-team playoff scenario in the NFC isn't going to the winner of the East. The last one's actually going to another wild card team.
How do you guys feel about this? Black Abdallah?
This is one of those things where I feel as if we've gotten to a point with sports where we need to fix everything at all times, every single day. And this is something that I don't think needs fixing, and it's not really a problem to
Welcome
me.
Welcome to the old guy club.
No,
the one thing that I agree with Waddle. I like the divisions. I like that there are division winners in the NBA. I like that there's conferences, and I like that you can win your conference, and the conference is the East and the West, and I don't want 1-16 for my playoffs, just like I don't want 1-7 in the NFL playoffs just lined up based on how they come in as the record. I like teams that win a division. And if you got bad division, well, guess what? If you're the better wild card team on the road, go to that place and win a football
ass.
Game.
But that it's unfair is
well,
what
it's
it
not
is.
Fair. It's not fair.
If you're in a bad division, you don't
survive
get
and
more.
Adapt.
You know what's going to be great is when the Bears have to face one of these dumb teams and they win because
no, they're not. They're the number two seed because they're good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But if one of these teams advances and then the Bears take advantage of it.
If the Bears are in the wild card, they may have to go to a team right. that is worse.
Yeah, and right. my point is,
we're having this conversation like once every 10 years on average.
We had it last year.
Not really. There was a 9-7.
Who was left out of the playoffs last year?
It's not
the
about
Rams?
Left saying, it's
the Steelers.
It's about not get letting the Dallas Cowboys in this year. They don't deserve to get in.
Well, then the Eagles need to win the division.
Time out.
Then the Eagles don't deserve to get
what
in.
What happened last year was totally fine. The Eagles got in at 9-7. The Packers got in at 13-3. The Saints got in at 13-3. And the 49ers got in at 13-3 as well. Okay,
so your wild cards in the division.
Your wild cards were 10-6 Vikings, and they were the 11-5 Seattle Seahawks. You're arguing that the Rams at 9-7 deserve to go ahead of the Eagles at 9-7?
It's not about deserving. It's about the automatic nature of this. They play 16 games. There's only 6 games against the division.
But that's part
of
a
crap division.
Okay, but that's
give out a free prize because they happen to reside in the East. That's stupid.
But there are rules in all facets of life that you say, well, that's kind of a silly rule, but it's.
And
like it's part
some of the rules get outdated.
When you start the season, you know, as a player, regardless of which division you're in, regardless of what your record is, if you're you have the best record in that division, you're in. So you know going in.
Like, or else you wouldn't know you're in the postseason.
Well,
if
I'm just saying. My point to you is when the season starts, the battle cry inside every meeting room is you got to win your division to get in.
Cry.
No.
Be the best seven.
I don't think you can change battle cries.
No.
I think that's something that goes through
There's a lot of things that go on over the course of a 17-week, 16-game regular season schedule.
Yeah, I just don't like
win your division.
3-3-2, 3-7-7-6.
If your ass ain't good enough to win the West with 13 wins, then your ass is out. Period. Go home early.
Sylvie, does this have to do with the teams that are in that division that's poor this year?
No, it would be any division. This has always been my thing.
Because I can see it, because those teams are annoying teams. Those are not fun teams.
They're annoying teams, yes. And it would be dumb to see them in.
Football team and the Cowboys. No one likes them.
We could have a 6-10 team in the postseason.
Okay.
That's fine. They'll lose.
They'll get boat raced to get out of here. Get out. We'll all bet against them. It'll be awesome.
We'll take the over.
I'm not willing to give up on the division championship. I love it. I'm wrapping myself in it.
Listen, you don't have to watch them. They'll be Saturday at 3:25, and
that's
you
don't want to watch that
apple
either.
Picking or something.
You guys want to see mediocre football teams.
Sylvie, you don't want to play the Packers twice a year or the Vikings twice a year?
No,
anymore?
You can still do that with alignment. I mean, you still have to have some sort of basics with a schedule. But again, just because you were the best of four teams,
that's
really
not fair
accomplishing?
If you're playing the Vikings and the Packers four games and they're really good.
The entire schedule
and everybody
is lined up for weird reasons.
That's my point. There are different anomalies, but you all know when the season begins, when your division you're in, winning you're in.
All right, Abdallah Black and Waddle like bad football teams in your postseason. I don't. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6 and your Bears calls coming up next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, I've had one guy in the Twitch chat say that I should go take a nap. And I had one guy, and then I had one guy on Twitter say that it's chemo brain.
Oh, stop.
I mean, that's the way I feel. I feel that why the big prize of making the postseason for being the best of three other teams.
That's what we call prelim.
3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Brian in Naperville, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Brian.
Hey, T Wizzle, I got a question for you.
Okay, bye.
You get to rest on your laurels because you're part of the 85 team and you've got a Super Bowl ring. But let's just assume that maybe you played in the mid 90s and you were on a 9-7 Bears team and didn't get into the playoffs because another team was 6-10. Would you feel the same?
Yes, and I wouldn't sit around and cry about it. I'd take a nap. That's what I would do. I would know going into the season, as the season started, I would know that if you won your division, you're getting in. Win and you get in. It's a pretty simple concept. Win and get in.
All right. Can I get a picture of you and your ring?
Of course.
That's awesome.
When all this clears up, Brian, we'll do the show at your house.
Yeah.
Awesome.
See ya. There's Brian. Kevin in Portage, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Kev.
Hey guys, first time caller to the show. Love the show. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have a
super, super hypothetical. Okay, you know, if my team, you know, was like a 7-8-1 team like Carolina was a couple years ago, I'd be okay if they got and went to the Super Bowl and won it. That's one thing. The flip side of that, I read that Dak Prescott's injury was like 4 to 6 months, and I already know that he had the surgery. So let's say best case scenario, Andy Dalton scraps 7-8-1, 8-8 team to the playoffs, and Dak Prescott can come back in time and win the Super Bowl. I would have a super big problem with that. So I'll hang up and listen to what you guys have to think about that.
Why would you have a problem with that?
Player
gets hurt, he comes back from injury, he's eligible to play again.
Well, I'm not like a Dak hater or anything about that, but I'm just saying, like, we watched this garbage team in a garbage division for X amount of time, and, you know, and I'm not saying they can't win the Super Bowl without Andy Dalton. I mean, they have a great receiving core and a great running back, but if that's like sets them over the edge, and, you know, teams like, you know, Seattle and Russell Wilson, you know, have to fight this tough division, and then Dallas can get in and win the whole thing that way. I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's like two sides of that coin. Because if my team could do it, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Kevin, what a great story that would be, right? That the Dallas Cowboys are hot vomit in a sack for the majority of the season. But Dak gets healthy. He comes back and leads them to a Super Bowl appearance.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. If that was for your team, wouldn't you think that's the greatest story ever? But, like, if you were, like, you know, a Dallas hater, you'd be like, oh, we got to change this. We got to do top seven teams regardless of division. You know what I'm saying?
Kevin, if they come into your building, beat them. Beat them.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
With or without them.
No, they would get to host a spot.
Okay, go to their building and beat them.
Well, it's not fair. That's
what's
that's,
not fair?
That's the, well, then just let's, why don't we just pick teams out of a hat? If we don't care about having bad teams in the postseason, let's just pick a teams out of a hat and give those seven teams a postseason spot.
The rules are the season starts, you win your
the
division.
Rules are dumb.
No,
the rules are dumb.
No, they're not.
To be the best of four teams, you automatically get in the postseason.
That's how we play.
They're not even the old divisions anymore.
That's how we play.
There are teams that used to be in the AFC.
The NFC, the AFC, they all have rules.
So you don't want the divisions at all?
No, I don't mind the divisions. I think this weird, just in this day and age, if you're asking me, would I rather have the seven best teams in football get in the conference or the best team, the division winners and three wild cards? I'd rather have the seven best teams. Again, the East has four terrible teams and they can't even beat up on each other enough to have one good team. Like, for all these people saying, well, what if one team, one division is better than the other? You have four bad teams, and there's not one team in that division that could separate itself by playing three other bad teams. None of them deserve to be in.
You know what the rules are when the season begins.
That's why
nobody's
well, falling. No, that's why I'm saying this rule should be gone. That you only play it six times. You play six of your 16. It's not even 50% of your schedule.
Let's say that it's not a 6-10 team or a 5-9-1 team.
But that's the way we're trending.
Well, okay. I'm just saying, though, in another year when a team goes 8-8 and wins and another team that's 9-7, oh, my God, gets left out, 9-7, Carolina Panthers don't go in because the Eagles were only 8-8 and they took their spot. I don't care. The Eagles took care of business. They won the game. They won the division. You're in. There's too many uncertainties over the course of the season. I can't tell you who's better. All I know is the Eagles set out and their goal was to start the season, that they win the division. Maybe the Eagles had it wrapped up in the final game of the season, and what they decided to do was just tap the brakes. Tappy, tap, tap, tap. And they had the division won, so they didn't even play their starters. So in your world, they would be penalized for it. In my world, they get in because they won their division.
See, and you're saying that you should win the division and the other teams cry. I'm saying there are seven spots anyway. So if you can't be one of the seven best teams in football, you didn't deserve to get into the postseason anyway. Why do you need the weird rule about winning the division?
Because I said so.
Because if you're good enough, you should be able to be one of your top seven.
That's how it's set up. Life ain't fair.
Okay. To me, I thought rules were to promote fairness. Rico and Gilbert, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Rico.
Hey, guys. First time caller here. Sylvie Strong.
Thank you, Rico.
I got a little girl who's going through her own battle, almost 2 years in, and she's kicking its ass, so I expect the same from you.
All right. The best to your girl, Rico. Thank you.
All right, but hey, I wanted to make a comment on Nagy. I feel that he is a good coach and that he can run a program. I do feel he needs to step away from the play-calling duties, though. It's kind of like the offense is his baby, and he's into, you know, all the gimmicky stuff, but at the end of the day, there's no accountability for the play-calling that he is doing. I think it would serve the team well if he could just hand that over to Lazor or DeFilippo, whoever, and then at least at the end of the games, you know, he can look at it and ask the question, why did you call this here? Why did you call this here? Rather than he has total autonomy the way I see it. But I do feel confident in him as a coach. Another thing I think they need to do is send Miller back for those punt returns. At first I was saying no because I didn't want to risk injury, but truth of the matter is he's not bringing anything to the offense, so maybe getting him involved in the punt returns will get him more involved in the game.
That's a good point, Rico.
As far as the line goes, man, Coward was getting blown away. They need to bring in some more guards and some more tackles. Just start threatening people's jobs or something, man, because that was pretty embarrassing. And the last thing I want to end on is how do we keep going backwards with these pass interference calls? Every year they make changes to say things are going to get better, but it's just consistently getting worse. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Boy, they throw a flag on everything now, too. They really do.
They just, when in doubt, they throw the flag.
Now, I say that, and then there was an example yesterday in the Dallas-Arizona game where a flag wasn't thrown.
I mean, know. Like, and it's so that would have been a nice challenge, but now you can't challenge it again. They reversed that
from
last year.
There's got to be a way that you can find an equitable solution to that.
Yeah, by getting rid of Al Riveron.
I'm Al Riveron.
Robert in Bolingbrook, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Rob.
Hey, I just wanted to make a few points on Cordarrelle Patterson because I feel like everybody's like calling for him to do more than he's capable of doing. I know it looked like he came open on that post corner a couple weeks ago, but I just feel like the safety didn't follow into the pylon because Nick Foles wasn't going to make that throw. His center of gravity is too high to have like quickness in the hole. Like he's not going to, even if he can get a full set of steam from the backfield, like somebody suggested he should play fullback too. And I just think his stride length is like too high to get anything going from like even closer to the line of scrimmage. And he doesn't have the hand-eye coordination to catch the ball downfield and have his like speed be an advantage for anything about special teams.
You've seen the 49ers, what they do with their receivers, right? You see jet screens. You see Robert Woods from the Rams.
But he's not Deebo Samuel either. Like, he's just not going to be.
Okay, he's got world-class speed. I mean, my point is I want him in space. If you're going to get him involved.
Sure, but there's not enough variety in the offense for the defense to be deceived by that. Well, if he's on the field, he's getting the ball, and it's just going to be shut down.
Listen, all I'm saying to you is I don't want to see him at fullback. I don't want to see him dot in the eye. I don't want to see him between the tackles. If you're going to use him, and I don't think he's an accomplished receiver. We've seen enough of that with the Patriots. We saw that with the Minnesota Vikings. We've seen that in the past. I'm with you. When he's at his best, he's a world-class kickoff returner. And what do you do as a kick returner? You're in space using your explosive athletic ability. So if you are going to implement him as part of your offense, don't give him the ball between the tackles, in my opinion. Get him the ball in space, wheel routes like you saw. You know, let him run a fly route. You know, if you want to get him involved and you want to use his speed, split him out wide and just let him go. But I really don't know sometimes what they're trying to do with him.
All right, a lot of people want to talk Bears. Other people on the division takes, 312-332-3776. Plenty of time for your phone calls all coming up as we talk some football.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Boomts, boomts, boomts. Boomts, boomts, boomts. Boomts, boomts, boomts. I would take in calls on the Bears offense as we continue to try and figure this thing out before their next game, Monday Night Football against the Rams. Also, this has been my thing for a while about changing the way playoffs are done. I look at that NFC East and I say, just don't love that you automatically give a playoff spot simply for winning that division.
Ben, I think you should get rid of divisions in your world. Just get rid of them.
I'm open to it, or like, you know, playing one game against your, quote, regional rivals to keep the rivalry alive.
I mean, all of your scheduling is revolved around, you know, playing the teams in your division.
Well, six games.
Right.
You've gone too far, Sylvie. I quit the NFL if they get rid of the rivalries between the Bears, Vikings, Packers, Lions. Well, I quit.
I'm not getting rid of them. I'm just not automatically.
Well, just one
they're games.
Game. Just one
yeah.
game?
Well, they are one game.
I mean, I like the home and home.
Yeah, okay, play two then. But then don't complain to me about, well, too much of our schedule is wrapped up against rivals.
No one is saying
that's not an argument.
No one's like, Lions too much.
No, yeah. I'm saying.
I think we do play the Lions too often. Maybe not enough.
No, you're not listening to me, Abdallah, before you start shouting. I was saying that if you get rid of the division champion getting a playoff spot, don't complain to me then that you're playing the Lions twice or the Packers twice and that your schedule is different than everybody else's. Because everybody's schedule is different from everybody else's. You're never going to have a complete equitable solution there. Whether it's the rotation of divisions you play in a certain year or the, quote, you know, third place schedule versus those two teams that you pair up with from the previous year. I'm cool with keeping two games against the Packers, two games against the Lions, and two games against the Vikings. But don't say to me then that you're playing them too much. That's what I'm saying.
Guy got lost there. My head exploded.
Levante and on the west side, you're on ESPN 1000.
Fix
Levante.
My head.
What's going on, guy?
You.
What's going on, guy?
What's up,
hey,
Levante?
What's happening?
Nothing much. Two things. Number one, my question is, why do you all think that the Bears don't run more 12 personnel, which is one running back and two tight ends?
That's a good question, I think that they have run more two tight end sets this year. Like, I think you see Demetrius Harris quite a bit on the field with Jimmy Graham. I still want to see more Cole Kmet. So I think that they have. I mean, you remember what they said when they signed Graham and they drafted Kmet is like they wanted to – they were bottom five in that type of personnel. They want to be closer to the top using that kind of personnel. My guess is their snap count is closer to the top than it is the bottom so far this year.
Jim's in Lincoln Square. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, gentlemen. Sylvie, I agree with you. To a point, I think that divisions are arbitrarily based on geography, and I think a good way to split the difference really would just be to go down to two divisions, maybe like an East and a West, or an East and the rest, for both the AFC and the NFC. But like, why are four teams deciding who's in a playoff? I mean, 6 out of 16 just doesn't seem like enough. So I'm on your side. I'm sticking up for you, man.
Thank you, Jim. That's all I'm saying. Like, people are saying, well, then how would you fix the schedules? People are asking in the Twitch. That's what I was saying when I was making your head explode. Is that you simply play the same, you play it the same way. You play, if you want to play your rival six times, fine. But it's 6 of 16. You could still play 10 other teams and decide who the best seven teams are. I don't understand why that's so weird. You're just not giving an automatic playoff victor to whoever's in your division. You got to be good. You got to be a truly good team.
I'm not suggesting that your presentation is outlandish. I just prefer what's being offered from the guy on the other side.
So who's the guy on the other side?
I don't know. It's Roger Goodell. I mean, whoever's in charge of that. I like the divisions.
There will be a team this year who's going to be pissed because there is going to be a good team that's left out. Bud on the Northwest, Bud in Northwest Indiana. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Bud.
Hey guys, love the show. Sylvie, I think you're wrong. Just based on, you have divisions that are bad where a team that's good has got 6 free wins. They're 6-0, basically. The Patriots did it for years because their division was awful. So now they only got to go 6-4 the other 10, and they're getting a bye in the first round. Are you going to say, well, that team's not as good as it shows, so we're going to make them be the third team and get someone else who had a tougher division first round bye? So it's going to balance out.
You're going to get those cyclical years, but like there's no one good right now in the East. So why isn't one team beating up on the other three teams in the East like the Patriots do? Because none of them are good. None of them. There's not one good team in that division. And yet we're awarding it because of an antiquated rule.
I think the argument for Bud, and I'm not 100% with you, Bud, on this. I think the argument for the Patriots scenario is they find themselves in an easier division. Hence, then what they end up getting is a higher seed potentially because they're playing six games against lesser competition than, say, the teams in the NFC West. So maybe the like the Patriots were great, so they're a hard example to use. But maybe when you play in a lesser division, your record is enhanced, and maybe you're not the best team, but you get a chance to be the number one seed because you have the best record. Carter, I guess that's what Bud was saying.
Carter and Normal, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Carter.
Hey, guys. Love the show. I was just calling about the party on the plane. And I just thought it was kind of premature. You know, I get we're 5-1, but when we get bounced in the first round because our offense can't do anything, we're not going to have anything to party about.
Well, then they won't party at that point. But when you do win a game, though, Carter, I mean, they are 5-1. I got no problem with them partying. I just want you to be ready to go to get better on offense on Tuesday or Wednesday when practice kicks back.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean,
like, I don't think really anything was going. I think that was Matt Nagy,
yeah,
trying to share with the fan base that everyone's happy about being 5-1, and that his ripping of his players the week before is sort of in the past.
Come on,
we're rocking and rolling.
We can do this. All of us can. We can party on Sunday to celebrate a win and get back to work on Tuesday. We can do this. We can do it all.
I'm telling you, I think that Nagy's statement last week when he said, I've never been a part of anything like this.
He had a little remorse.
He threw too many people under the bus and made it sound like it wasn't him. It wasn't a him problem.
I think it's a good point because, again, you scored 20 against the much better defense against Tampa, and you scored 23, like I said, against a lesser defense, and you were wildly happy after beating the Panthers scoring 23, and you were dejected and yelling at people after you scored 20 yes. against the Bucs.
Now he's just taking the cool wins and party playing.
It's pretty cool.
Snakes on a plane. Richard in Barrington, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Richard.
Hey, listen, I just want to say, I was listening, and I had to first give a disclaimer. I'm a Washington football team fan, so I have to tell you.
I'm sorry.
I know. I'm sorry, too, but I am a fan. But I will say we can't be arbitrary with the rules. The rules are the rules, and some years you're up and some years you're down. So this year we're going to change it, and next year we're not going to change it. And it's just like baseball. We go back to baseball, but there are certain rules in baseball. It's what makes the game great. This is what makes the game great. This is the way it is. It's the only true where it's really caught up in a part of the country, in each part of the country, and each one of those division champions win. You win, you go. It's simple. I agree with Waddle on this one.
I'll say this. Like, listen, there are inequities involved in it. There's no doubt. I'm not denying that. Like when the Dallas Cowboys win the division or the Eagles win the division at 5-9-1.
Right.
Like I get it. Like, so the seventh seed or the eighth team is probably going to feel cheated. I'm willing to live with that inequity because I actually appreciate the regional nature of the divisions and I like the format. I'm old, I'm cranky, I'm tired, I'm set in my ways, but I like the essence of the divisions in football. I just do. I can't really give you a solid explanation other than because. That's it. Because. Why do you like it? Because.
Because. That's the way it's always been.
Yeah.
3-1-2.
No, that's not. It has always been that way. But like,
right.
Like, again, I go back to the same thing. We knew when your division and you're in. Like, I'm cool with that. Like, and if I don't get in because, you know, we're a 10-6 team and we didn't qualify in the wild card hunt and the team that won the East had a lesser record than me, you know what? Sometimes you're the bug. Other days you're the windshield. And in that case, you're the bug.
Okay. Which team will be the bug in the World Series, and which team will be the windshield? And are you interested? Are you going out of your way? Plus, we'll continue. Take all your Bears calls. I know there are people who still want to talk. 312-332-3776.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, the World Series begins tonight. No rest for the weary. Quick turnaround from those Game 7s. And it's Dodgers and Rays. You know,
I wanted chaos. I wanted Astros and Dodgers. I'm not going to lie. But
in the weirdest playoffs ever with the expanded playoffs, which you were against in Major League Baseball this year, we ended up getting two number one seeds.
That's right.
The two best teams in baseball into the World Series. Do you believe the people will tune into this matchup? Or do you not even care?
I think if you're a baseball fan, you watch. In terms of the peripheral fan, I'm not so sure you'll get the peripheral fan. I mean, college football, the Big Ten's coming back this week. You may. I'm not expecting huge numbers. I think the fact that it's the Rays. Yeah, I don't think it's. I think if it was the Astros and the Dodgers, you would get a good audience. I'm not sure you're going to get that with the Rays. I'll watch because I like baseball.
Because most things have been down this year.
Yeah.
Like with all the info, like the NBA Finals was way down. The only thing that's really up is football.
Which is crazy because I'm watching everything, but nobody's ever asked me. I've never had a, I've never been a Nielsen family. I've never been asked to do any of that stuff, but I'm watching everything.
Right. Do you know the college? It was a really good. Alabama, Georgia did a very good number this week.
Yeah, I think it was huge.
The number last night, too, for the two NFL games yesterday were in the, like, I think one was 12 million and one was 13 million or something.
How does that kind of
correlate? Well, I mean, the Alabama, Georgia game had 10 million.
Yeah.
So it was more than that, and that was more than any baseball game or any NBA playoff game.
Yeah, I would tell you, I would rather watch Alabama, Georgia, honestly, than Arizona, Dallas at this point without Dak.
Georgia, Alabama did a high, like college football experts said they were surprised that the Alabama, Georgia game did a better number than last year's Notre Dame, Georgia primetime game year to year.
It didn't do better than that big LSU, Alabama game. That had like 16 million or something like that.
Was that the really bad game though? Or was this the, do you remember one year there was like a 12-9 game or a 9-6 game?
No, this was, I believe this was last year's game where it was Burrow against Alabama and it was really high scoring.
That was such, it's been the SEC. There's some wildly entertaining stuff. Like I even watched pretty much all of Texas A&M and what was it, Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Like I just find the SEC to be, and the Big Ten's coming back this week, right? Ohio
Friday
State,
night.
Penn State.
Friday night, you get Wisconsin, Illinois.
Let's do this.
LOL.
You all right, Eric?
Minnesota,
Michigan. Isn't that what we're getting to this
weekend? Minnesota, Michigan. This
week. Yeah. I think game day
is
there.
Is it going to be snowing there?
Maybe.
It did. I saw somebody post that it snowed in Minneapolis today.
And you realize that I keep asking people because it's so dark so early now. When daylight savings end, it's November 1st, is it? Or 2nd? November 1st? Late?
Yeah, and do you know this is going to surprise you, too, that I'm in favor of this. This year, and I don't know
you
if
it got reshuffled.
Right. Yes. That this year was supposed to be a year possibly where they voted no.
Got rid of it.
Where we would stay on one time zone the entire year, and we would not go backwards with the clock.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, do you remember that the days that when that's the day where it's Heart Attack Central.
Oh.
You're more likely to have a heart. Like, this causes health issues continuing to go back and forth with the clock.
Darkness outside?
I'd rather have it a little darker in the morning later and continue to have it light after 5 o'clock.
But what if the Eagles are under 500?
Yes, then you don't let them into the postseason.
I was going to say, the only health problem I've ever had is when we fall back and I get an extra hour drinking at the bar. I'm like, what do you mean it's 2 a.m.? It's only 1 a.m. Yeah. Come on, refill.
Yeah.
I can't stand, like, the 5:30 pitch black outside.
It's 4:30. It's pitch blackout.
Oh, God,
by December.
It's so.
That's what I wanted.
And
so I think because of COVID reasons, they didn't revisit. They were supposed to get rid of it in Illinois.
Really?
Yes,
because
that
I
was
know
the talk.
It does. Do they not do it in Indiana?
Right, in some parts, I think.
Like
it
Indianapolis
is.
is not on daylight savings time, correct?
Right, and they just stay in one. Is it, which part of Indiana stays on one? Is that what it is, Indianapolis?
I thought it was Indianapolis.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Arizona, is the same way. I was just going to say, your second home is
yes.
that way.
Like, why do we switch the clocks? I mean,
I will say this. I told you this 1,000 times. When I grew up in Cincinnati, we were on the far western side of the Eastern time zone, and we would be outside, and sun would still be up at 9:40, 9:45.
Yeah. I like bright late.
Yes.
That's better. Joe in Aurora, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Sylvia. I wanted to talk about the division winners.
Sure.
I think the reasoning from the NFL is that because there's only 16 games in the regular season, they've got to figure out a way to rank everyone. And so they're compensating for the fact that not every team plays each other by putting them in divisions and scheduling the divisions the way they do. So, and, you know, from year to year, you get some divisions that are tougher, some divisions that are weaker. And I mean, it's an imperfect solution to an impossible task of selecting the best 12 or 14 teams every year to participate.
Maybe we could get a committee and vote them in. We could have updates every week so we know where it is. No, I know what you're saying, and you may not be able to have it. I just think that there are always going to be inequities, believe me. I know that no matter any way you slice it.
How about if you're an 11-5 division champ, you're the Bears, and you win the division at 11-5. But like out west, you've got the Cardinals at 15-1 and the Seahawks at 13-3. You may find yourself playing a team that's got a better record than you do. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
sure,
you should be playing the lesser teams as opposed to the teams with better records.
And then the team that does, like I said, the team that does win the East will be allowed to host a playoff game. Not only will they get in, but then they'll get to host a playoff game against a team.
There you could talk me into a bit of a change, where if you're not 500 or better, you don't get a chance to host a game. You got to go on the road.
Okay. Abdallah and Black are coming up next. Tomorrow we have Wilbon, don't forget. A lot coming up, and the Bears getting ready for the Los Angeles Rams.
Bring them on.
Thank you today to Mark Potash and Jalen Johnson, the Bears' fine rookie.
Very that impressed
really
with him.
Stuff. Yes. Black and Abdallah, thank you to them. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie, CSPM 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfort.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.